Let's read together, please, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Timothy chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, reading from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And chapter 4, verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If I could put a little title on the message in the first part of this session this afternoon, it would be these two words, pursuit and contentment. Pursuit and contentment. Pursuit gives us the idea of something not yet achieved or obtained. Content gives the idea that I'm happy with what I have. Pursuit, I'm not yet content with what I have. Looking at these two passages of Paul to the Philippians and to Timothy, I'd like to apply them to our lives as believers. And take Paul's example and this exhortation to a young man and to this group of believers in Philippi. Contentment and pursuit. Both of them have a negative aspect. And of course, Paul deals with that, especially in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the harmful pursuit of wealth and more stuff. And likely we could include really what pertains to this worldly sphere, that which is of earthly value, the amassing of possessions or even accolades is a harmful pursuit. Hebrews chapter 13, the writer says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. And a person might say, okay, I understand. God expects me to be happy, to be content with little. But if we finish the verse, I think we discover where the real secret is. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not asking me to be content with little. He's asking me to be content with him. My brother Jack has already highlighted that. Christ is enough. Someone said, when you find yourself with nothing left but God, you discover that God is enough. The harmful pursuit of wealth. There's something about moving between cultures. And I've already outlined for you a number of negative aspects of the culture in which we live. And there's something about living in a developing country and then coming back to this country or to the country to the north of us. And seeing the everyday normal life society and the unconscious, many times this unconscious pursuit of more, and that the unexpressed but felt pressure from neighbors, from co-workers, even from fellow believers in the assembly, to conform to this idea of amassing more. Paul speaks to Timothy. He's not speaking against those who are rich. His caution is to those that would be rich. And he says to those who are rich, be rich in good works. We discover that salvation has everything to do with good works. Not as its cause, but its effect. And he encourages that if there is blessing in a physical way, channel that into good works. The harmful pursuit of wealth. But then there's the harmful aspect of contentment. Being content with my current spiritual state. I don't know about you, brother, sister. Paul, rather the writer to the Hebrews, whoever he was, he has this indictment for his hearers. He says, you need milk and not solid food. By this time, you ought to be teachers, he says, but you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. How can this be? You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. contentment with the current spiritual state. There's no desire to pursue a deeper relationship with Christ, a deeper knowledge of the Scriptures. What am I skilled in? What are you skilled in? Tagging, gaming, surfing, editing, crochet, scrapbooking, needlepoint, photographing, biking, running, basketball, writing, network, painting, troubleshooting, car detailing, research, programming. I will be skilled in what I pursue. And Paul said, I'm going to get myself in trouble with somebody. The writer to the Hebrews says, you're unskilled in the word. What a sad description. Unskilled in the world, in the word, and unacquainted with Christ. And usually when there is a contentment with my lack of spiritual progress, there's often an unhealthy or a harmful, a damaging pursuit of something else. Pursuing intimacy or fulfillment, maybe through pornography. Or maybe this loneliness, this insecurity, this desire for intimacy or for fulfillment or for meaning or significance can lead to destructive and addictive habits. And yes, you're talking about believers. Contentment with my lack of spiritual advancement. But then there's also another side of this careless indifference to the plight of unbelievers. And while I pursue popularity and approval on social media, I'm surrounded by the plight of those who are perishing. In Philippians 3, Paul has outlined a long list of previous qualifications that he would have been proud to put on his resume. And now he says, what I considered gain, it was loss for Christ. Where Paul once found his significance and his importance, he now says it's of zero value. It's rubbish. And Paul now finds his significance in Christ. And believers, you and I ought to do the same. But how about a healthy side? A healthy pursuit. A healthy pursuit of eternal riches. And a contentment with material provisions. Isn't that the idea? For a believer, earthly contentment and heavenly pursuit. And in Hebrews 10, the described, I think Brother Dan made mention of this, those who accepted the plundering of their property, their possessions, their sense of security, and they received that with joy. Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. So the robbing of my physical possessions gives joy because smugly I know that the thief cannot take what is of most value. It's secured. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, says the Lord, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't know how many times I read that verse until I woke up one day and realized that it doesn't say where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. That makes sense to me. If I think a certain cause is worthy, then that's where I will invest. He doesn't say that. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We have family members who make frequent visits to Mexico now that they didn't before. What's the purpose? Well, it's because now there are grandchildren there. Grandparents here can identify. There are grandchildren. There are nieces. There's a nephew. And where the treasure is, that's where the heart is. Do I wish my heart was pulled more towards? Well, try putting your treasure there. And Paul here, speaking to the Philippians, he says, I'm not speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And Paul's sense of satisfaction or joy does not depend on the level of his current economic condition. He says, I have learned. And at verse 11, perhaps one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. Verse 13, rather. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And how many students who didn't study for the exam the night before have quoted that with conviction? And a host of other. But when we go back to the context, we discover that Paul is talking about where the rubber meets the road. If I have or if I have not, I can do all things through Christ. Christ is he who strengthens me in the haves and in the have-nots, in the abundance and in the scarcity. And Paul has learned to be content. His contentment not based on his earthly condition, but on the heavenly reality. Godliness, he says to Timothy, with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. We cannot take anything out of the world. Paul's learned to be content with his situation on earth. But there's a sense of discontentment that we find here in Philippians 3. Paul says that I might know him. I'm not going to say that I've already attained what I so desire, but I will say that I'm still going for it. I haven't given up. I am not who I would like to be, and I haven't arrived where I would long to be. But I'm continuing on. Godly pursuit. That was the exhortation of Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus. Running with patience. And Paul uses these words, I press on, I pursue, I reach out for. And to Timothy, as he warns Timothy against the trap of desiring to be rich, he says, flee these things, but he says, follow after, Timothy. Follow after, pursue, reach for it. This is a worthy goal. Our true longing for intimacy can only truly and fully be fulfilled in Him. For me to live is Christ. We expect that a person's life goal will be their passion and their pursuit. I remember many years ago, Steve Kember encouraging some of us young people to make it your goal. One person, just one person per day for Christ. Speak a word to just one person. He said, you may discover that after one, you might want to try for two. It says, heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul has this burning longing to pursue souls as he pursues Christ. Makes us think of those often quoted words of Jim Elliot, which really have to do with this dual theme of pursuit and contentment. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. That's earthly contentment. To gain what he cannot lose, that's heavenly pursuit. encouraging for me to see a good number of young people here. Some of you are on the threshold of university. Some of you are just entering the workforce. Contentment and pursuit will be a real issue in your life. There will be the pressure to negatively be content, to negatively pursue. May God give you the strength and the conviction to have contentment on earth, but never ever to be happy with your current spiritual condition. A heavenly pursuit and an earthly contentment, that Christ may be honored in all. Well, let's give out a verse of a hymn before we hear from another brother.